starting a new format where I'm going to be talking about the Chicago Bulls and one edition of the show. And then I'll be doing a generalized version where I'm covering basic things that are happening around the world of sports. But I wanted to focus my attention on the Chicago Bulls, and I wanted to basically go in on Zach LaVine finally returning back to the lineup. At least, hopefully, that is what's going to be taking place later on today when the Chicago Bulls have the Charlotte Hornets coming in to visit. And I was looking at the point differential. Bulls are favored by 8 points. That's something that we haven't necessarily seen a lot of this year, especially by such a high number for any team that's coming in to face the Chicago Bulls at home. And of course, we know that the Bulls have been excelling, showing a lot more effort. You're seeing a lot more ball movement. Just in general, the Bulls have been playing a nice brand of basketball now that the reins have officially been given over to Coby White. Billy Donovan seems like he's really, I don't want to say the players have necessarily just bought into Billy Donovan. I think that Billy Donovan has really bought into Coby White being allowed to run the offense as he sees fit. But it has been interesting when we looked at the last three or four games with the Chicago Bulls, there's been an element that's been missing from them, and that's just dynamic scoring. And when I look at a lot of the reactions that Bulls fans, media talking heads have had when it comes to Zach LaVine, saying that he's not necessarily a winning player, how he doesn't provide what this team really needs. Really, when you're looking at what's been taking place the past four games, Zach LaVine is exactly what the Chicago Bulls need at this moment. They need someone who's dynamic. They need someone who can get to the rim at will. They need someone who can score efficiently the way he does. They need someone to have that consistent outside threat that they've been missing for quite some time now. And for my own sake, how I feel about Zach LaVine is that he's been greatly unappreciated by many Bulls fans. Just looking at the comments in social media, it's interesting when we looked at Zach LaVine and the talk came out where he was more accepting if the Chicago Bulls were going to be moving on for him. He just expressed the fact that if that's the case, then you know he opened up some options for them to follow through. And it was interesting looking at the narrative that started to shift with Zach LaVine, how it went from the organization, and really this is something that benefits the organization, it went from the organization basically dangling him in trade talks. Even from last year, they were considering possibly moving off of Zach LaVine, to now it just seems to have shifted to Zach LaVine just not wanting to be here as a Chicago Bulls, and I don't think that's the case. I don't think that you're looking at a player who has given as much as he has to this organization, being the face of the organization, being willing to step into the media and accept responsibility with the team not performing the way they have in the past 4 or 5 years that Zach has been on this team. And I think that there's been a lot of arrows that have been slung his way, which are not deserving. Because when you think about Zach LaVine, you think about him initially coming into the NBA, you're talking about a player who, in college, wasn't looked at as a player who was good enough to start. Then we look at him coming in, playing for Minnesota, was behind Andrew Wiggins, behind Karl Anthony Towns, looked at more as an athlete, just a dunker, and how he's been able to kind of flip, and not kind of flip, how he's been able to flip that narrative around, being one of the most efficient scorers in the NBA, even at his position. You think about the fact that this year coming in, looking at his numbers in the 19 games that he's played, 44% from the field, 33% from 3-point range, all numbers that are drastically down from what we expect from Zach LaVine. And yet and still, those numbers are not that far off from a lot of his peers, a lot of the shooting guards that are in the NBA, even with him having a down year. And it's funny, we talk about Zach as this player who's lesser, but considering the fact that 44% from the field goal, from the field, 33% from three, still being in the proximity to a lot of his peers, it makes me wonder, what exactly do Bulls fans and media talking heads, what is it that they're gauging Zach as being a player who is someone who could help teams? It's funny, when we talk about, or when a lot of them talk about Zach LaVine, they'll put Zach LaVine down for what he doesn't do. And yet and still, they'll also go and say, well, he could be the missing piece for a lot of winning organizations that could use his services. And my thoughts are, this is someone who has not been really appreciated for what he provides. It's interesting enough that people talk about Kobe White, and Kobe White has upped his game in Zach's absence. Definitely has. There's no way that you can doubt the impact that Kobe White has had for the Chicago Bulls, especially with them going 10-7 in Zach's absence, and with Vooch missing couple of games too recently. But when we think about from where we were at the beginning of the year to where we are now, a lot of this team, a lot of the players in this team and their input is just totally different. You have players who are actually not just Kobe White, but other players who are impacting wins for the Chicago Bulls. You're looking at Patrick Williams, for example. Patrick Williams starting out the year in the first 19 games of the year, 42% from the field. Past, I want to say, 16 games, he's been shooting 50% from the field. And his three-point percentage has also gone up. We look at Kobe White. Kobe was shooting 42% from the field. He upped that to 45%. We're looking at Ayo. Ayo, who came in not really having a lot of significant minutes because he was behind Javon Carter, who I'm glad a lot of people are finally coming to my side of this, that Javon Carter has not lived up to what we all expected him to be as a free agent signing for the Chicago Bulls. But Javon Carter was ahead of Ayo. And Ayo has stepped his game up, playing better offensively, playing better defensively, and really settling in to the role that we envisioned for him. But I think a lot of Bulls fans need to pump the brakes as far as blowing this team up. And the reason why I say that is because I was just going back and looking at a couple of the highlights, and this is for the live version that people will be able to see while I'll be playing some of those highlights later on. But it is interesting to see that when the Bulls were matched up against the Oklahoma City Thunder, there were a lot of mismatches that the Bulls were able to throw their way. Bulls had mismatches with Vooch, they had mismatches with Andre Drummond, and the Bulls were able to match up defensively with a lot of the players, the prime star players that OKC has on their team. I don't really think that it's a matter of Zach not being able to fit his game into what the Chicago Bulls are doing, because if you're looking at what's been going on with their team, they're actually putting a lot of players in catch-and-shoot situations, which is something that we have been clamoring for Zach to be involved in on a regular basis. But when you look at this team, if you're really honest with this team, there's really no reason for them to necessarily blow things up. This team is a lot closer than what people want them to give credit for, even with them being on the same track or close to the same track they were last year. A lot of people hold on to the fact of they were in the playoffs when Lonzo Ball was the starting point guard, or at least they made it the year that he was the starting point guard. Obviously, he got hurt, but the Bulls were able to still manage making it into the playoffs, eventually getting eliminated with a few games to the Milwaukee Bucks. But people don't really want to give credit where credit is due. And as much as we put on AK for what he hasn't done, it's kind of hard to argue the fact that this team, as presently constituted, is better than the team that made it to the playoffs when Zoe was the starting point guard. And by that I mean, when Zoe was the starting point guard, for some reason people are getting it out of their minds that Patrick Williams wasn't available throughout that whole entire year. People are losing the thought process of Kobe White. Kobe White wasn't having a significant impact, wasn't playing up to the role that he is presently on this team. Yes, we had Caruso, but now you have Ayo in the mix, who's providing a lot more defensive depth, and he's playing more into the roles that we wanted him to be working towards. But this Bulls team really needs to examine themselves and be honest with themselves. Be honest with the situation that you're at. You know, it kind of reminds me, there was a time that I was in Miami, and I remember I was passing by a McDonald's. There was a guy who was sitting out, homeless guy, holding up a sign saying that you know, he was hungry and he hadn't eaten anything in a while. Something to that effect. And so I thought to myself, you know, McDonald's is right there. I'll just run in and go get the guy a couple of cheeseburgers, some chicken nuggets. And actually went in. Once I came out, the guy had gone. And so I spent probably about 5-6 minutes driving around the surrounding neighborhood looking for it. I eventually caught up with him, and I was like, hey, man, I saw you outside of the McDonald's, and I just wanted to pass this food on to you. And the guy looked at me, he's like, I don't eat that. And he just kept walking. And I thought to myself, this person doesn't have an honest understanding of what his present conditions are, if he really is homeless. I mean, he had the sign, you know, it was obvious from his demeanor and what he was wearing that he didn't necessarily have any other place to go and was really looking for provisions. But I thought to myself, that's a person who is leading kind of a jaded life in their mind. And I want to segue back to what I was talking about with the Chicago Bulls and a lot of the fans. I think the people need to take an honest assessment of what this team is and where it's at. It's not a team that is one of the best teams in the NBA, but I think when you take Zach's talents and you put them together with Kobe having a breakout year, with Ayo having a breakout year, with Pat actually starting to do the things that we expected of them, I think that they're a lot closer than what people fully understand and can give even some of the better teams in the NBA some headaches. But also, when it comes to breaking up this team and just blowing it up and starting from over, from the beginning, fans have to be honest with their assessment of the young players that are on this team who are having a bit of a breakout. And you really need to look at them in relation to their peers. When you think about Patrick Williams, yes, Patrick Williams has really come on the past, I want to say, 7 to 8 games. But when we think about Patrick Williams, he's really just doing more with the opportunities that he has. And it's funny, there was a narrative that was taking place where people were talking about Zach being a ball hog, which he is not, and Zach taking away shots from other people, which he doesn't do, because if you look at his numbers, Zach is one of the most efficient scorers who takes some of the most the least amount of shots for his position. But when you're examining Patrick Williams and where he's at with his peers, in many ways it's lacking. When you're thinking about Paolo Banchero, who is a little bit younger, I think about a year and a half, you think about Scottie Barnes, around the same age as Patrick Williams, Franz Wagner, Evan Mobley, Jalen Williams out of OKC, who, you know, it's one of the better small forwards at his position, kind of plays a hybrid small forward and power forward position, somewhat like Pat plays, Zion Williams and Jaden McDaniels in Minnesota. Jaden McDaniels is kind of on that same level with Patrick Williams because of the defense that he has and the consistency that he has, and usually guarding a lot of the team's better players, which is something that you find with Patrick Williams' role as well. But when you think about the players that were listed, I'd say there's probably about four guys on out of that list who are capable of being star players. And I don't mean that by them just having a couple of good games or 10 good games throughout the year. These are guys who in their young careers have proven to be consistent. And that's one of the things that we've been talking about with Patrick Williams. Can he sustain the level of play, not just from a defensive standpoint, but also from an offensive standpoint, that's going to push him to that point where I don't even want to say that he's an all-star. Can he just be a significant contributing role player on this team? And that's something that remains to be seen. And you look at Ayo Dosunmu, 23 years old. But look at the other team, the other players, I should say, relative to his age. Darius Garland, Tyrese Haliburton, Tyrese Maxey, Kobe himself, around the same age. Trey Murphy plays for New Orleans. LaMelo Ball, obviously, we already know LaMelo, Garland, they've made all-star teams. Tyrese Haliburton is looking like he could eventually compete for an MVP if he keeps up his level of play. But then you look at a guy like a Jaime Jaquez Jr. for Miami, 22 years old. Dude is playing like he could be a rookie of the year. So when you think about the young players that Chicago has on their team versus the young players who are on other teams at their age level, can we really honestly say that these young players are on the verge of breaking out, aside from Kobe, but on the verge of breaking out to being all-star level players? Are these even guys who have shown that they can be significant contributing role players? Because I think when we look at Ayo Dosunmu, especially in that game a couple of nights ago versus the New York Knicks, Ayo couldn't hit open three-pointers. He couldn't drive to the rim. He couldn't create for others. He couldn't do much of anything. He was largely insignificant in that game. And that remains to be seen. And, you know, it's funny. People talk about Zach LaVine and being a losing player, but it makes me wonder, has this front office gone all in with surrounding Zach with players who are going to support him in being the best possible player that he can be? And I would say the answer is no. If you go back in 2020, Zach and Kobe were developing a very good rapport with each other in that beginning part of the year. It's funny, if you look at the beginning part of the year and you examine Kobe's numbers, those numbers are on par with what we're seeing right now. So Kobe being able to do what he's doing in Zach's absence shouldn't be a big surprise for a lot of people, especially for fans, if you're really being honest about it, especially those fans who were saying a year and a half ago that they didn't even want Kobe White on their team. And then you look at the fact that they had a Lauri Markkanen, and I don't want to go back into this team trading away Lauri Markkanen, but I feel like, in my opinion, that that team was more closer to really being able to support Zach and elevate his game. It obviously, they were dealing with young players, but I think if they had kept that core, which they added Patrick Williams to that team too, that would have been a team that could have grown and continued down a certain trajectory. But we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what could have happened of that team. But it is something that I really wish this front office would explore. If you're going to pay Zach to be the face of the franchise, not just the face of the franchise, but your franchise star, then you need to surround him with players who are going to support him. And that is something that this front office has not shown. They have not shown a willingness to go all in one particular direction or the other, aside from having Billy Donovan as their head coach, which I have no idea why they've gone all in with that. I certainly haven't seen anything, especially from the video that we saw about Billy Donovan and Mike Miller and his time in UF and not being able to motivate players, and those were his words. But it remains to be seen what's going to happen with this front office. But it's going to be great having Zach back, finally being able to showcase what he's capable of because he'll be healthy, and it really shouldn't be a surprise for us. If he comes out here and, you know, scores 18 to 20 points on close to 50% shooting, I think that shouldn't be a surprise, shouldn't be unexpected, because he's been able to ramp up his efforts. But I think that with his place set, with his skill set rather, he should be able to fit seamlessly into what the Bulls are trying to do. So yeah, I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see what's going on. I'll hit you guys up once the game is over. But yeah, just want to share those thoughts with you all. Remember, I'm going to be starting another show that's more generalized to what's happening in the world of sports. But as always, if you're listening to the show, please like and subscribe. Please leave some comments of what you think, what you appreciated about the show. I'm always welcome to any advice that you might have. But again, thank you for tuning in. Go Bulls.